Hey, everybody. Let's make this a one-minute warning. One-minute warning. Okay, everybody, if you could please take your seats so we can get started. Thank you.
If everyone would have their seat, please, we'd like to get started. Hello. We are getting ready to start the recording again to resume the meeting, and I would just like to remind everybody, for purposes of recording and transcript and those participating remotely, to please announce yourself before speaking. Thank you. Can we start the recording? Good.
Okay, thanks very much, Sherry. So welcome back, everybody. We are a little bit behind schedule, even though we picked up some time from ATRT2. We have to talk again about sort of the motions before the GNSO Council. Before we do that, I think we'll go to the NTAG update. And then come back around to Jonathan and our counselors for the GNSO update. So, Sarah, if I could hand it over to you. And just before I do, sorry, we're having some issues with the microphones. I mean, everything seems to be fixed, but the person speaking has to turn off their microphone before the next person can speak. So, you know, as I hand it over to you or if I acknowledge you for speaking, just please take a moment until I can actually, lessen your frustration. Thanks. Okay, Sarah?
Thanks. This is Sarah, interim chair of the NTAG, and I think we can run through this really quickly so you'll get some time here. We have a really big meeting tomorrow from 8:30 to 10, and that's where we're obviously going to be doing the majority of our work. We have a lot of stuff on the agenda. So in terms of an update, we don't have a lot to talk about right now, but I can talk about sort of a few issues that are really important to the NTAG right now, and they're basically issues that are blocking delegation. So the first one we've already talked about, auctions. We've been spending a lot of time thinking through auctions, not so much where the money is going to go, but how applicants are going to proceed through this process, and particularly the fact that the deadline has been shifted almost 3 months, and pointing out other issues that people have mentioned. We don't have an agreement, or sort of we don't know what that's going to look like. And there are also concerns around, you know, what kind of accounts are the money, is the money going to go into in the holding accounts? How is ICANN going to refund the money? Things like that. We sent over a list of pretty detailed questions, and we're waiting to get some of those answered, and we're sort of probably going to talk tomorrow about whether or not we want to engage more fully with ICANN to have a one-on-one conversation about some of these concerns. But as Jordan mentioned earlier, Brian's really the one that's been doing a lot of work on this, so that's something that we're really focused on. Another thing that we're going to probably talk about tomorrow is name collision. I think those that are paying attention have seen that ICANN recently released sort of a plan for applicants to move through the name collision issue, and it doesn't sound like there's much that's different. It's not, you know, deviating hugely from, I think, what people were anticipating. The alternate path is basically using block lists, and then they're talking to Jazz, which it sounds like they're going to speak to us later in this meeting to talk about a study that they're going to do to figure out how to refine those lists and kind of finding a way forward. I think the big issue is that there are now 25 applications that are not eligible for this alternative path. So those applications are now stuck as it relates to this issue. So I think we're going to sort of talk about how to sort of deal with those issues and working with Jazz to move applications along. And then the final issue that we've been doing a lot of work on a listserv is GAC advice. I think there's still concerns about how Category 1 and Category 2 advice is being... There's a slight disagreement within the group in terms of how we should move forward with GAC advice. So I think we're going to try to figure out tomorrow sort of what the implications are for applications and how we might be able to figure out a way to sort of engage on that issue and get it closed out. So those are sort of the three big issues. The other thing that we have is we just did our elections, and we have a new XCOM, which will be starting in January, and we did it because our entire group is going to be rolling off, and so we're going to have a period where we kind of have, but we can all work together to figure out, make sure there's a smooth transition. So that's it.
Okay, thanks very much, Sarah. And so thank you for all of your all's service, and congratulations to the new group that have been elected. So any questions, comments, thoughts for Sarah and the NTAG team? Okay. Oh, Krista, go ahead. Thanks. Of course.
Just a quick question. You said something about a list of detailed questions. Are those for ICANN, or is that something else?
Yeah, so we sent them in conjunction with the webinar, but I think we were the only people that sent questions because all of ours were read. I think some members feel that they weren't really answered with enough detail. So we've basically collected the questions, we've answered them based on the information that ICANN gave in the webinar. And I think the plan is that we would turn it back over to ICANN and say, these were our questions, this is sort of the information that you gave us, we don't feel like it went far enough, you know, can we get more information on these questions? Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Krista. Thanks, Sarah. Any other questions, comments for our NTAG colleagues? Okay, I don't see any. So, Sarah, thank you very much for that very efficient report and very informative. So thank you for that. Helps us pick up some time. So with that, let us move to our topic on the GNSO and GNSO issues. And the first topic is discussion of issues and motions. So I'm going to hand that over to Jonathan, Jeff, and Ching. Jonathan?
Thanks, Keith. It's Jonathan speaking. There are... let me just check against the agenda item on this. Can we see the agenda item for this? I know the first item is to talk about the motions. So there are two motions before the council. The first one is one we've seen before and, in fact, did deal with initially before, and that is to approve a charter for a new PDP working group called the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information. This relates to internationalization of who is data. Actually, the registrars had a problem with the motion previously in the sense that they felt that the scope of the working group as contained within the charter was problematic. So at the last council meeting, I, as maker of the motion in that case, agreed to withdraw the motion, send it back to the working group, get the charter revised, and turn it around rapidly so that we'd be able to vote on this at this meeting. That's all been done efficiently and well. The registrars are now happy with it, and it includes a key question on responsibility for costs and recognizing that there may be cost impacts of producing this translated or transliterated contact information. So I think we're in pretty good shape. The weekend sessions of the council, it was suggested that this go through on a voice vote, and the sense is that it's going to pass through easily and unanimously. So that's my sense of that. And I suspect there's not a lot to discuss, but let me pause and we discuss that particular motion in case there are questions, issues, or statements on that. So, seeing none, I will take that as our position that we will vote for the motion, which will, providing others do likewise, set the working group, well, approve the charter and in effect, set the course of that PDP in motion. The next one is to approve the recommendations of the INGO protections. This is an enormous piece of work represented by a complex and multifaceted motion with even some bifurcation in the motion. We talked about this at some length in the council meeting on the weekend, and I'm sure there may well be some comments and input perhaps from Chuck, who's been very active both in the working group and interacting with us with the working group. The motion is in the process of being reorganized, it's not necessarily an amendment, but reorganized in a way that makes it more manageable. I have seen that the draft of that, it hasn't been circulated to the list, unfortunately, yet. The intention was to get that out so that groups like us could discuss it. But suffice it to say, the substance remains the same. It's really about reorganizing it into a way in which the council can deal with it better. So I wonder if I should pause and allow... Chuck, would you like to say anything about the motion, or should I just...
So thanks, Jonathan. This is Keith. I see Reg has her hand up in the queue, so I'd like to ask, let her go ahead and jump in here. And then I would actually suggest that we give Chuck the opportunity to give some more background on this if he's prepared to do so.
Can I just start with that?
Yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, so I made this motion, and as Jonathan said, it is the result of a lot of work on behalf of the working group. Chuck will give some background, and then maybe I'll circle back on the motion and what's being talked about as far as the motion being rewritten. But there's essentially a few different components. One is there were consensus-based recommendations that were made by the working group. There, on a lot of the substance, there was a recommendation made to send one issue to the Structural Improvements Committee. Did I say that right? Is it or SCI? Sorry. Sorry, wrong abbreviation. The
Standing Committee.
Standing Committee of something. Sorry. And then there's one recommendation in there that was forwarded to the group that had what the working group chair, Thomas, had classified, rightly so, as strong support, significant opposition, and the council's being asked to kind of look at each of these. So for more detail, I'm going to turn it over to Chuck. And then also just to ask the question, is this on the agenda to talk with the registrars as well? I believe this is one of the items.
Yes.
Yeah. So because the registrars have a certain viewpoint on this as well. So let me turn it over.
Thanks, Jeff. Before we go to Chuck, Reg, go ahead.
This is Reg. I would like to thank everybody who worked on this, working with the completely unreasonable request of blocking all of these names. I realize that you've come to the best possible solution. The best possible of all of the horrible, horrible, horrible solutions. My complete annoyance with this entire process is well known, so I will try to get beyond that and just ask that once we get this list, that I can give us a CSV list of it. They've got a couple things posted on their website right now with the IOC and the RC, and they're in a format that makes it a little difficult to copy and paste and actually put into our technical systems. So once we get the list finalized, that's what I would like. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Reg. Chuck, over to you.
Timed it perfect. It went on just when I pressed the button. And by the way, just to follow up on Reg's comment, Barry and Krista and Wendy, if you can kind of remember to carry that forward and alert the people that in advance, obviously until the board approves this, which is a way, anything that the council recommends as policy, you know, and that'll take a little bit after comment period and so forth, but in case any of your technical people have to have a heads up on that, Reg's point I think is very well taken, because there are quite a few names involved in the recommendations, and registries are going to need to have an accurate and usable, and that was list. Obviously, there are links to the list right now, but that isn't going to work for registries. So, okay, so you've got that. Very good. Well, the first thing I want to do, too, is point out that David Maher is the official rep from the registries on this, okay? Unfortunately for David, he's had some conflicts in the last few weeks, but David put a lot of time into this over the length of this process. I also want to point out that the chair of the working group is with us. Thomas, why don't you raise your hand over there? Thomas Rickert. And in the back row over there behind Thomas against the wall, Barry Cobb. And Barry's been part of the staff support team. More recently, Mary Wong also joined, and they've both been great help. But, you know, I think that Barry actually didn't get sleep for a few days there as we're heading up to this thing, because there's been tremendous effort and the staff support's been really good. Okay, enough on that. This is the longest motion in GNSO history by far, and there are reasons for that. We can't just blame it on Thomas and Barry or Mary, but the motion itself, and I provided you a link to it in the message that I sent out yesterday to the group. So if you want to pull up my message on this, there is a link to the motion if you want to see it in detail. It's multiple pages long. The whereas clauses provide a very thorough history of where this thing has been and what led up to where we're at right now. The resolve clauses have, I think it's 29, is that right? 29 different recommendations, okay? So, and there are reasons for that. We tried as a working group to see if we could find some principles that would apply across the board and that we could agree on across the board for the different categories. And the categories, I think, as everyone knows, are the Red Cross, Red Crescent names, the International Olympic Committee names, the IGO names, and then other international non-governmental organizations, INGOs. Red Cross and IOC are INGOs as well. But other ones, those are the categories of the names that we examine for protection. And then there's some general recommendations as well that kind of went across the board or cover some other areas. Now, like Jeff said, what was item 5 in the motion, or resolve clause 5 in the motion, was separated from the other recommendations because, using working group guidelines, the three recommendations there only had a level of support in the working group of strong support, but with significant opposition. And I won't go into all the detailed definition of that, but, you know, a majority of people in the working group supported it, but there was pretty strong opposition as well. The rest of the recommendations made there have what is called in the working group guidelines definition consensus level support. We did not have full consensus on any recommendation, okay? But consensus support in the working group was achieved for all the rest. That's why we separated those. It so happens the working group guidelines don't specify whether you have to achieve consensus to make a recommendation or whether strong support is needed. So that's why we did that. And we wanted the council and all GNSO members to be fully aware that the these particular ones did not achieve the same level of support in the working group as the rest of the recommendations. And the person to blame for that category is Thomas, the chair of the working group. I'm glad you're smiling. The chair has to make an assessment according to the working group processes in terms of what level was achieved. It's not as if we did a voting thing, okay? We did poll, and you guys, many of you, participated in the poll we took with regard to the consensus call, and that was all fed in, and there's a great summary of that that I also provided you a link to. Now, with regard to, I'm going to go on unless people have questions about the consensus working group recommendations, because those we supported as a registry stakeholder group. There was obviously very strong support in the working group for those, not unanimous. So I think those are okay, unless somebody has any question. Where I'm going to focus is on the one recommendation that is going to be separated, I believe. Is that right, Jonathan and Barry and Thomas? Did the one on the structural, well, I'm going to say the same, make the same mistake Jeff made. There's a board committee like that, too. The Standing Committee on Improvements, SCI, that one is going to be separated, is that, and put into a consent agenda, on the consent agenda. It's very simple. We and this is not something that was in the consensus call for us. We had long discussions, and Ricardo, who's here from, is and was on the working group, knows that you know there are people that express concern because the working group guidelines, the categories are full consensus, strong support with significant opposition, and then everything else falls into divergence. Now, we use that term because that's part of the process, divergence. But some people noted that that doesn't really give a very good description of that. So all we're recommending there is the GNSO probably should look at the procedures and see whether they want to break that out a little bit more so it provides a little more information. Really, so it's just, hey, you might want to consider revising the procedures, and of course that'll happen through a process. So I don't think that's a should be an issue for anybody. Where the issue comes in, and where Jeff and I have done a lot of debating personally in the last few days, is with these three recommendations that are received the strong support with significant opposition. And what I sent you yesterday, where I provided some of these links, provides for some positions that the registry stakeholder group has taken on this so that you can see where we stood. It turns out that two of them we actually supported, one of them we did not. Okay? Now, I personally don't think that that comes into play here. It's a matter of whether the strong support objections should be included and put forward. Or not. And so I don't know, and maybe I should stop here before I talk specifically about those for Jonathan and Jeff to talk about how the council's going to handle that tomorrow, because the working group sent all of these recommendations forward, noting, though, that there is this special group that had a little less support. So do you want to talk about that, Jonathan? Jeff?
There we go. Thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I think the one complicating factor, unfortunately, is that the registrars didn't actively participate in the working group as much as we would have liked them to. And it turns out that the one recommendation that we did not support, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Chuck, was the recommendation that we include acronyms of INGOs or IGOs, sorry, of IGOs in the trademark clearinghouse, and then the next part of that would be, if it was included in the clearinghouse, would it be used for Sunrise? We said as a registry stakeholder group that we did not support the including those acronyms of the IGOs in the clearinghouse. We were the only group, I believe, that opposed that pretty strongly. It turns out, or maybe the NCSG, I can't remember if they did or didn't, but we were the only group that didn't support that within the working group. And then it turns out, however, that the registrars also opposed that as well. They didn't voice that in the working group because they weren't active participants. So what we have there is, even though Thomas rightfully classified that recommendation as having strong support, substantial opposition, if the registrars had actually voted on it, it would have been possibly majority supported, something lower than that. And so my view is, and this is where Chuck and I differ, is that yes, normally the council should not substitute its own view for the view of the working group. And normally we should accept that the fact that if there's a strong support, that it's something that should go forward. I just think the situation here, where all of the contracted parties do not support that one recommendation, that from my viewpoint, forwarding that to the board as something we support would be a mistake. But let me turn it over to Jonathan. Or
Jordan, would you like to come in?
No, that's fine. I'll only, there's no use getting in, this is Chuck, there's no use getting into our disagreement unless people really want to hear that. We can probably tell you that offline. I don't know that it really helps too much in terms of our discussion here. I think the more important question, probably in your court, Jonathan, is how this is going to be handled by the GNSO Council. And then after you talk about that, I'll briefly go over whatever detail you want in terms of those three, or not, too. It just depends whether people want it. Okay.
Thanks, Chuck. I'll come to it. Let's just hear from Jordan.
Yeah, I guess I just have a question for Jeff, I guess, which is, you know, we talked earlier about sort of incentives for participation in the process and the ATRT discussion. And if the council does sort of decide to, like, revisit the levels of support as a result of the registrars finally paying attention, even though it's an issue we agree with them on, I feel like it sets a really bad precedent for future. Like, then everyone's going to just not bother to participate in the working group process and wait to see recommendations at the council level and throw it into a mess every time it gets. I mean, there's just no incentive whatsoever to participate in the working group process if we do that.
Just to respond to Jordan's, Jeff, That's why I'm torn. I agree with you, but this is something, you know, as a registry and knowing all of the acronyms that are in there and knowing all of the names that we're going to have to give to the IGOs, which are otherwise potentially valuable names, especially in light of name collision and everything else that's taking pools of names out of the taking a lot of names out of the available pool. It's something I want to hear from this group on, right? So I'm torn. I agree, but should we just on principle say yes because the registrars didn't vote, even though we as a group disagree with it?
So I just briefly say, so from my perspective, I'd much rather have a functional policy development process than whatever, a few hundred more acronyms in my registry. But... I mean, I'd rather have, so there may be disagreement, right? Like, but so from my perspective, I think making the GNSO process is incredibly important. And I think, you know, we argued a lot of times in the application process about the need to keep the process consistent and effective, even though sometimes that works against particular commercial interests. And I think that's the case here. And I think I think it's incredibly unlikely that all the IGOs and so on will go and actually bother to exercise their Sunrise rights in all of the registries as well. I don't think it's going to be like these names are instantaneously going to disappear.
Sorry to jump in, Jonathan, but I want to tell you, I did not pay Jordan anything. Because this is the essence of the difference between Jeff and I, and it's a philosophical difference. It was a fun conversation, actually, but that was my concern. that we, if we're going to respect the process and support it, we need to let it work, regardless if it favors us. But I just assume we not get bogged down in that here. I think the one question, and this will come back, this is why we need Jonathan to jump in, is we may want to voice an opinion whether we think whether consensus, we should at least achieve a level of consensus before recommendations are put forward or policy or not. Again, the working group guidelines don't specify that. Jonathan, back to you.
Thanks, Chuck. So I guess I have a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, yes, it's a shame that there wasn't the appropriate participation in the working group. Second, I'm not sure that although this is a manifestation of it, I'm not sure this is the place to get into the discussion about the consensus levels in the working group. I think that what it does is flags that point loud and clear, and it's something we need to pick up on, and it's an issue that should be dealt with for future piece of work. I think the working group guidelines may need some work on them to indicate how it should be done. Given where they are at the moment, my sense is that we have recommendations that sure are based on different levels of support in the working group, but being somewhat simplistic about it, the council has a set of recommendations from the working group regardless, and now has to deal with them. And then it comes to this question of, well, how do we vote on those? And it's relatively straightforward on all but the one where there is this different level of consensus. I suppose my feeling is that I understand this issue about things should be referred back to the working group, but in a sense the council also is representative of a final position. So I'm less bothered, I suppose. I would like to talk about this in more detail, but my sense is that the council can ultimately, it's not just rubber stamping the work of the working groups. There has to be ultimately, we've given representation to the different groups, but this is a bigger topic clearly that we need to discuss. But for tomorrow, I mean, the council simply votes on the recommendations of the working group, and we need to decide as a group how we vote. Now, in one sense, it seems to me relatively straightforward, because our vote, if we voted against the recommendation that had strong support but significant opposition, that's consistent with our position in the working group, I think. So for me, that doesn't feel difficult. It is self-consistent.
I don't know if that's totally true or that it matters too much either. This is Chuck. In the sense that two out of the three of the recommendations had strong support, we supported. One we opposed. So it's not a matter of, that's all I wanted to clarify. I don't think we need to belabor that. I think you're on the right track. We need to know how the voting is going to occur with regard to the new motion, the way it's structured in the council meeting, so that we as a group today can give our councillors direction and how to vote.
Okay. Thanks, Jonathan, Jeff, Chuck, everybody else. I mean, this is something that ought to be a discussion, right, a dialogue. If there's anybody that has views on this and if there's more information that we could get regarding the nature of the motion, I have Ken, and then Mike, did you have your hand up as well? Mike Plush? Maybe not. Okay, Ken, go ahead.
Thanks, Keith. I'd just like to ask that we take this discussion with regard to incentivizing participation in the working group, as I think it's extremely important. The council was complimented very strongly yesterday in Fadi's speech about the fact that we're trying to really working hard to maintain an effective role. And if we can't have a process that is truly inclusive from the bottom up in the working groups, if everybody knows they can wait till the end. So maybe we can, some point in time, talk about ways of incentivizing that participation, but this probably isn't the right time.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Any other thoughts? Okay, Thomas, welcome.
Thanks so much, Keith. I don't want to dive into great level of detail, but just two observations that I'd like to share with you, the first of which is that I sort of get the impression that some of you think that there was poor participation from the community, and in fact, the opposite is the case. We had more than 40 members of the working group, more than 50% of which participated regularly in 2-hour weekly calls. So I think this, on the opposite, this has been a good example of a functioning bottom-up policymaking exercise. With respect to the question of why we included the strong support but significant opposition recommendations in the motion, I'd just like to echo what Chuck said. The rules do not specify or give any guidance that working groups should only pass on consensus positions to the Council. We had even more recommendations or proposals that we deliberated on, and we specifically only called them proposals in the final report. So basically, I guess we can sort of take a step back and take a more bird's-eye perspective on this and say, okay, we have this package of consensus recommendations where councillors will oversee whether the policymaking process has been in good order, and if this were the case, they would vote in favor of those. And then the second question for what has been recommendation number 5 is whether the Council chooses to support recommendations that did not reach consensus level. And I think if you look at it from that perspective, it is not that much a question that conflicts, or where you, Jeff, see a conflict, i.e. that the Council is now in a position to make policy, but it's more a question of, does the Council wish to support recommendations below the level of consensus?
Okay, thanks, Thomas. Jeff, go ahead. And
I only partially agree with that. I don't want to turn it into the meta issue of does the council, will the council forward to the board anything that falls below a level of consensus? This is a very specific issue that the registry stakeholder group in our comments and everything that we had put forward, we disagreed with, at least with that one part of that recommendation. And I want to hear from the registries here. I don't want to separate out and just say, well, it's a meta issue and we should vote on it on philosophical reason. Because what's going to happen? I mean, think about what's going to happen after this, right? After this, it gets forwarded to the board. The board puts it out for public comment. The registries are going to say that we completely disagree with this. I'm assuming we're going to have the same opinion. The registrars are going to say they completely disagree with this. And then everyone's going to look back and say, well, wait a minute. If the registries and the registrars disagree with this recommendation, then why the heck did it get forwarded by the GNSO Council to the board, making the recommendation that it's adopted? And it's only going to encourage the same type of thing that we've been trying not to encourage, which is everyone going straight to the board to get a decision made. So, sorry, I'm a little bit passionate about this. I totally understand your arguments, Chuck, and I totally understand your argument, Thomas, but let's look at the big picture, and what we always wanted to avoid was people going directly to the board to have a decision made by them, when we know at the council level right now, despite the fact the registrars did not participate, and they feel bad about it now, but despite that fact, we know that recommendation doesn't have support. So I'm conflicted because I don't want to send something to the board, knowing what's going to happen in the future. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Jonathan, I think you wanted to respond, and then Ricardo's in the queue.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. 2 comments. 1, I didn't think that Thomas was advocating, therefore, that we voted up. He simply feels that given the level of consensus that was reached, that his decision as chair was to bring those 2 recommendations. And I think he feels comfortable, I know not all of us do, with us voting that against it, notwithstanding that level of consensus. Personally, speaking personally, as a councillor, I guess, I feel comfortable voting it down as well, especially given all that I've heard. And to me, I don't feel uncomfortable, although I realise there's potentially more discussion to be had on this, voting it down either. I don't feel that it breaks the process. I feel quite comfortable with the process that says a recommendation can come to the council with varying levels of consensus, and under those, I think I would feel much less comfortable, much, much less comfortable if we were talking about voting against a recommendation that had consensus. But given all of the background that we've heard, I feel entirely comfortable voting against a portion of the motion that doesn't have that level of consensus. So that's where I stand personally, and in some ways, that's where I stand in my capacity as chair, I guess. I feel okay with the council working in that way. It doesn't feel broken to me, but I understand that that probably needs, I might need more education on that.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Ricardo?
Thanks, Keith, and good morning, everyone. Ricardo Guilherme from the Universal Postal Union. Obviously, I heard some previous comments stating that this process was, let's say, horrible and absurd in terms of the requests that were put forward by IGOs. And I would pretty much share the same feelings concerning the recommendations that are going forward from an IGO perspective, particularly given that the decisions and recommendations that have been adopted so far, they simply fly away in the face of principles concerning specifically the separation between phonemes and acronyms. But I'm not going to go into that right now. I had a brief discussion with Chuck before the session, and the concern that we would have is that the GNSO is the policy. If we were to follow the process set up by ICANN and accepted by working group members, we had a charter that was defined in the very beginning of the process and adopted by the GNSO for this working group to conduct its business. And the simple thing that has to take place now is that, as Thomas, I think, pretty much described, we will forward the recommendations and whatever results of the discussions from the group to the GNSO, and the GNSO is the body entitled to make a final recommendation or decision on them. Unfortunately, most of those recommendations, from our perspective, are absolutely, I would say, unacceptable, unsatisfactory, for the reasons that I have exhaustively mentioned in various exchanges. But I would just caution against trying to give a certain direction or trying to further qualify recommendations that are being, they're simply using the terms that have been defined for the working group as full consensus, consensus, strong support with significant opposition, and divergence. There should be no more direction than that what is in the defined categories of consensus levels. And then if the GNSO and the board ultimately want to take a decision on this and want to endorse something or not, then it's up to them to justify such actions. But at least as a member of the RYSG, as the UPU, we would caution against sort of like further qualifying something that has already been defined as the rules of the game for the working group. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks very much, Ricardo. Very constructive. Other comments, questions, thoughts, feedback? Jonathan?
I just want to make sure I understand Ricardo completely. I mean, so we have we've now the motion as it is likely to be put to the council. It has yet to be formally accepted by Jeff as a friendly amendment, but I'm hoping that will be the case. If we go down that route, we're going to have a set of recommendations from the working group that have consensus support. That's relatively easy. I think we're okay with that. We have a further recommendation that has come to the council as a recommendation of the working group, but we know its underpinnings were strong support but significant opposition. Ricardo, are you advocating that the registry's stakeholder group reps vote for that recommendation regardless of the level of support?
I think my only point is that from a process perspective, we do not provide further qualification than has already been provided by the group. So, for example, when I talk about a certain recommendation which has received strong support but significant opposition, of course, you have a signal there that there is a strong support, and there is also a sizable portion of the group which was against such a recommendation. I'm just saying that from a process perspective, from the group's perspective, from the group's standpoint, there should be no more consideration than what is already given in the report. And then the GNSO is going to weigh all the factors and is going to say, okay, we have effectively seen 60% support, maybe 40% opposition. What shall we do? It's not up to this group to say now what the result should be or what the decision should be. And I understand there is a difficulty here because there are RYSG reps in the GNSO, and they're supposed to vote in a certain direction. So, of course, if you're taking the strong support element, you're gonna, and you interpret this as being more than the majority, perhaps that the way that's the way you should go. But I would just, again, be a little bit careful about not going beyond the terms of reference that have been defined in the charter. And, again, I'm just speaking from a process perspective because I'm totally unhappy, I would say, with the substance of the recommendations. We don't have to get into that. This is how this organization seems to work. So, at least from a process perspective, I think we should be consistent with the rules of the game as defined in the very beginning. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ricardo. I have Chuck, then Jordan.
Thank you for shutting yours off. let me help out a little bit with what Ricardo's referring to, and I'll be relatively brief. But with regard to there were a lot of proposals, okay, as Thomas said, that were classified divergent in terms of support in the working group. There was a huge amount of discussion. I think we spent at least two meetings, at least in part, on this, maybe even more, that some people were very uncomfortable with using the term divergence because they didn't feel it fully reflected the position of the group. At least in one case, there was pretty strong opposition, very little support, and divergence doesn't portray that. So what happened, we still use the term divergence in the report, but we added some qualification, and I think that's what Ricardo is concerned with, that we added that. So I want you to understand what he's saying. It doesn't relate to the recommendations that had consensus or strong support, just to try and help out there. Now, the question I have then, Jonathan, for you is are the consensus, because I haven't seen the motion yet, I keep looking for it, but I haven't seen the revision of it. Is the council going to consider the consensus recommendations as one motion, the strong consensus as a separate motion, and then, of course, we already know that the little recommendation for the Standing Committee on Improvements is going to be just in a consent agenda. I don't think we need to focus on that. But I need to know, are those going to be separated, the consensus and the strong support recommendations, into two motions? Thank you. I'm seeing his head nodded. Do you want to comment? I'll shut off.
Not two motions, but two components, two votes on within the same motion. So they'll be in effect, they will appear as two motions, but it's the one motion split into those, so that the council is aware that it's dealing, and absent any further working group guidance or other processes, to me it seems that that's the logical way to deal with it. These come as recommendations to the council based on different levels of support within the working group. Therefore, they are material considerations for the council.
So, Keith, and you know this, you're ahead of me on this, everybody is, I think, what we need to decide is what direction we want to give our three councillors on those two parts of the one motion. Okay.
Yep, thanks, Chuck and Jonathan. Jordan, over to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I'm not quite following along well enough to be confident that what I'm going to say is to make sense. But I guess it seems like there's a meta question here, which is, like, what is the role of GNSO councillors when you're voting on a motion that's to approve essentially the recommendations made by a working group? If you look at the way weighted voting works and so on, it's clear to me that the councillors are not just voting to say, yes, that is what the working group said. The councillors should still be reflecting the viewpoints of the constituency or the stakeholder group that they represent. And so, you know, to Jonathan's point earlier, if there are points upon which we substantively disagreed with the recommendations of the working group, it seems totally reasonable to continue to, in those instances where we disagree, to continue to vote our opposition to those particular points. But the motion needs to be structured in such a way that that's the where we're focusing our no votes, as opposed to saying that we don't support other elements of the work or descriptions of the work. Right? It needs to be clear that we're voting against the substance, not the classification of the work.
Jordan, if I may respond, I mean, I think you've got it pretty much spot on there. The philosophical issue is clearly to the extent that these are recommendations to the council, the ideal is that the work is done in the working groups and these are accepted by the council, subject to the work having been done properly in the working group. And therein lies the philosophical point. Should the council override the recommendation of a working group? To my mind, this is relatively easy because there are different levels of support coming from the working group. To the extent that they all had the same level of support, it would really drive home that philosophical position much more directly. For example, say we had three recommendations, all with the same level of support, and yet our group wanted to vote down one. That would be substantially, to my mind, more problematic. As it stands, different levels of the support in the working group and the lack of comprehensive guidelines as to whether or not those should become recommendations makes it slightly easier in this case.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Jonathan. Any other thoughts, views, recommendations? Would anybody like to provide further input? Our counselors need guidance on exactly how they should vote on this particular topic. I think, you know, it's also, I mean, one of the distinctions I think that's important as I understand this is that that it's not one vote for everything, that there's actually separate potential votes on the various recommendations. And the point that Jordan and others have highlighted is that there's actually differing levels of support for those recommendations. So I don't know, Jeff, do you want to take this?
What I would recommend, and I think it's consistent, as we, if it's divided into three parts, which it should be, where the consent on putting the one issue to the, sorry, I'm going to say structural, to the Standing Committee of Improvements, that's a no-brainer. We all support that. Every recommendation that had consensus, which is almost all of them, those will be, we should vote in favor of, just as we support in the report. And the last one, on the one that we opposed, I think, to be consistent, and also we'll discuss this with the registrars, is that we do not vote at this time in favor of that. We could send that part back to the working group to see if they can get a consensus on it, or we could just vote it down. I mean, either way.
I personally prefer, sorry, I'm with Jeff on the first two points. The third point about potentially sending it back to the working group, in general, I think that's probably a desirable way to go forward. Specifically here, I don't like it because I think it sends a message that I'm not sure we'd get significant difference. I suppose if the registrars participated, we might. But I just think optically it doesn't look good. It looks like we can't bring this to a conclusion when everyone in the community is expecting us to bring this to a conclusion. And I think my feeling is we should have the courage of our convictions to vote for it in one direction or another and be done with it.
Just very quickly, so Jonathan, because the previous motion, the translation and resolution, we have gone through this very similar path if we're going to send the motion back to the working group. That would, as you said, will make us look bad.
Chuck Gomes, and by the way, I'm okay if we make the decision not to support the strong support with significant opposition recommendations. I just want to be clear, though, there are three recommendations underneath that category, and two of them we supported before. Only one third of it did we oppose. Now, that said, I just want that to be on the record that that's the case, and I sent you the details of that yesterday. But at the same time, if it's the feeling of the group that we should just vote against those, in my opinion, what we're saying is, at least in this case, it's best to have consensus support instead of strong support, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. But keep in mind, it's not a matter that those three recommendations, we were against all of them. We were not. We were supportive of two of them. So I'm going to go with the group on this. I'm okay with opposing that particular category of three recommendations, if that's the thinking of the group.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. Jordan?
Yeah, I don't want to second-guess the job of our counselors too much, but I suspect that probably there's a discussion that ought to be had amongst the proponents of the positions that we support, would they be willing to split those out for a separate vote, right? And if so, then we could support those two components. Yeah. And if not, if they want to have it as a package, then we have to vote no because we don't support, there's an element of it that we've never supported, right? So I think it's up to the people that support the other two motions, whether they want to split, the other two components of that strong support, whether they want to split them out to get our support for them.
Thanks, Jordan. Jeff, Jonathan, Ching, any thoughts on that?
But Jordan makes a very good point. I mean, that to my mind is most internally self-consistent. Then, you know, it gives us it's yet a further sort of splitting up into fine detail of the motion. I mean, we could work through it in that way.
I'm going to come back to a process concern here. If we do that, split them out because we want to support the ones we supported, we're coming back to just not respecting the process, I think. And so I guess I would be more in favor of probably not even supporting the whole block of three rather than that, because, again, it violates the principle of, okay, oh, we like these two. So the bottom line is whether Thomas and Barry can correct me on this, but I think whatever the registrars do, I think all three of those still end up in the strong support category, right? So for us to make a decision, Thomas, you want to reply?
I'd just like to add that the only point where it might become relevant, and I should make a disclaimer that me participating in this discussion is not to influence whatsoever the instructions given to your counselors, but this is just to provide some background information on how our deliberations went, and I would like to welcome all working group members that are in the room to chime in should I not adequately reflect what we've been discussing. But basically, if we push this back to the working group, the working group's outcome for the sunrise part of the recommendation, I guess, will not be any different. Only if the registrars support IGO acronym inclusion into the trademark clearinghouse, that would be a consensus position. But if they don't, then basically the outcome of us pushing this back to the working group will not be any different. And therefore, I think in terms of process and timing, and this is one of the reasons why we brought this to the attention of the council as it is, it would be a moot exercise to push this back to the working group if then we end up with the same level of support, i.e. strong support but significant opposition. And I would like to, you know, put that into the equation when you give instructions to your councillors.
Okay, thanks very much, Thomas. Chuck, did you want to jump in? Go ahead.
I want to point out something that Jeff's correct on one thing here that's important to recognize. I saw you disagreeing with me that it would still stay at strong support. And you're right in this sense. On the one recommendation that we opposed, if we now included the registrar's vote, that one would, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Thomas, that one probably wouldn't have strong support anymore. So that said, and your point is well taken, Jeff, that, you know, looking down the road, that would mean that, you know, we're putting something forward to the board that would, and it's probably, might be fairly reasonable to think that they won't support that, then we're putting something forward that all of the contracted parties would oppose. So I think that's an argument for not supporting those strong support ones in that regard. So I wanted to acknowledge that.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Chuck. So I think we need to bring this discussion sort of to a decision point. So it sounds as if we are not inclined to break out or try to break out the one component that we don't support from the two that we do. And if we make that assumption, and Jordan, you're happy to welcome to jump back in here, but if we make the assumption that we're not considering sort of trying to break out the three, one from the three, then the question is, does anybody think we should vote yes for this recommendation that we didn't support in the first place, that the registrars don't support? And so that's a question. Does anybody think that we should be voting yes for this motion? But before we get to that, Jordan, go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, I have a question for Chuck, I guess, which is why, so I understand why sort of procedurally, we talking about incentives before, we don't want to sort of break the process at the council level just because people haven't participated. But in terms of breaking out components of the working group recommendations, in terms of indicating support at the council level, which I think the council level support is important, right? Like having GNSO councillors vote to say, you know, the contracted parties don't support this particular recommendation, and we have weighted voting at the council level that, you know, maybe changes the dynamic in terms of how we express support, and certainly it affects the dynamic in terms of how it's perceived by the board when it's voted there. Why does that break the process to have the votes at the council level reflect the levels of support that the individual stakeholder groups actually reflect?
Chuck, again, I won't talk too long on this, but the way I see that is that unless we go back and get the registrar's support in there, then we have, if we're going to oppose one recommendation that had strong support and support two others because they went our way, that's where I think it breaks. Now, let me make one more comment before you respond, and that is I want to be fair to the registrars. We don't want to say that they didn't participate in this process because there was a period of time when they did, okay? Unfortunately, in the last few months when we're doing the critical final decisions, they were totally absent. So please don't think that they never participated at all. In fairness to them, please understand that.
Yeah, I'll just, I know we want to wrap up, Keith. So I guess my point is, I think it gets back to what I said earlier. I think if the proponents of those other two points are willing to break them out and separate them as a package, not just us, right? If it's not just the registry saying we're going to do that, but if the proponents of those two points say, yes, I'll take those two in order to get the registry votes, and knowing that I might lose the last one as a result, then that seems like a fair, you know, it's a political compromise, it's a political process. If it's just our action saying like, oh yeah, we are gonna, you know, we didn't win, we're gonna throw our toys, then I think that's a separate concern, and I think I totally agree with you. So I think it's, you know, maybe that Jeff or someone wants to do some outreach to other folks who are supportive of those and see whether they want to make a friendly amendment in order to separate them out.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. Again, very constructive, I think. So Thomas wanted to jump in, and then I think I'll try to wrap this up unless there's any other thoughts. But okay. So Thomas first, and then Liz.
Thanks, Keith. This is not on substance, but just to go on the record by saying that I have not only offered my availability to discuss with the registries, but also, I'm also going to see the registrars and the non-contracted parties later today.
Hi, Liz Finberg for PIR. Just a question. If the three points are broken out and we are permitted to vote separately on each, are our choices yes, no, or might we abstain?
It's a good question. I mean, the problem with an abstain is it sends the right message, but the effect is a no, and so that's that. So that's the difficulty.
Also, when you abstain, you're supposed to give a reason why you abstain, and if we've criticized, and a lot of people have criticized people in the community for abstaining, but then basically giving a no answer. when they could just go on the record and just say no. So I would prefer if we don't agree with something than to state we don't agree with it and vote not to support.
Okay, thanks everybody. So I think what I'm hearing is that our recommendation to our counselors is to vote no, but to communicate the opportunity for somebody else to propose breaking out the one from the two or one from the three, and sort of give our counselors some discretion around that. So any other views, any other thoughts before we wrap this up? I mean, this is your chance, and I think while you're considering that, I want to take this opportunity to thank David and Chuck for the incredible amount of time that they spent on this on our behalf. Very complex and a long process. So thanks to you both for that. And as Chuck noted earlier, to Thomas and the ICANN staff, Barry and Mary, and who really did support this in an incredible fashion. So thanks to them as well. Okay, I think I saw TH's hand in the back. TH, go ahead. Do you have a microphone? Come on down.
TH, Artemis Internet, applicant for .secure, observer to the registry stakeholder group. I just want to point out that if you don't have the breakout, potentially the issue that doesn't have adequate support, it could introduce the opportunity to game the process as sort of a writer. So just want to put that out there. I'm not sure, whether that is going to be true or not, but thinking about the future here. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, TH. Any...
can I just ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
TH, can you just clarify? I'm missing something, so can you just explain that again?
So just to flesh out my logic here, in the U.S. at least, there's this the part of the process of policymaking process is that there are these issues that, are either compromise issues or nobody really pays attention to them that are tagged on to the main issues sort of at the end of the process. They're called riders. And that's just something that we accept as part of the U.S. sausage-making process. And that potentially has, unfortunate consequences. There are issues that are introduced at the end that don't really make sense. They're not part of the main issues. They don't have enough support. But because everybody just wants to get the main issues passed, these, secondary issues also get it passed along with it. And that has some consequences to the policymaking process. In that you can, people try to use that loophole to get their issues passed without having enough support. So just putting that out there that this may not be something that we want as part of the bottom-up policymaking process.
Okay, thanks, TH. Jeff?
Thanks, TH. Yeah, I understand that. The good news here is that it doesn't really work that way with the policy development processes here. So there's nothing that could just be tacked on to anything else. Any kind of recommendation has to come along with the other relevant items for the working group. So I think in this case, because we're not a legislative body, it works out well. But totally understand your point with the legislative bodies. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, TH. Thanks, Jeff. So to wrap this up, I'm going to last call here for any other thoughts, and I think otherwise our counselors have guidance to vote against that particular amendment that recommendation, unless there is a breakout that you all will explore verbally. Okay, with that, it's time to break for lunch. What I'm going to suggest is that we actually have more work to do, so this is going to be a working lunch. So let's take a 15-minute break, get your lunch, take a bio break, and then let's sort of reconvene here at 25 after the hour. Thanks. Sherry, is there any announcement you want to make about lunches?
Just box lunches are in the corner, and just help yourself, and hopefully there is plenty.